This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
We are four friends in three states across two time zones with a shared passion. Welcome to the Sports Talk Garage Podcast, where we hit the fast lane to discuss our favorite drives, from the track and the ice to the court and the ball fields. We are four lifelong friends who grew up with a love of professional and collegiate sports. Today, we are bankers, investors, professors, and entrepreneurs, but our love of sports has never changed. Come listen for the fun, gain some insight, and probably a few laughs as we give you our perspective on those last liability changes, game-winning scores, and franchise players. This is the Sports Talk Garage.
Welcome, everyone, to Season 2, Episode 20, the Big 20, here at the Sports Talk Garage Podcast. I'm your usual host, John, here with David. Matt is out of town tonight, so we're giving him the night off. David, how's it going?
It's wonderful. Glad to be back. It's been a couple weeks off for holidays and travel for all of us, but it's nice to be back here, get back on a normal schedule. Lots of good sports been going on over the past few weeks, so excited to talk about some recent happenings.
Yeah, it's always good to travel and catch up, but it's weird getting back in the studio. It feels, even though it's only been a couple of weeks, it feels like an eternity getting back in the swing of things. So good to be back as well. Yeah, same thing for me. Just back in Chicago. So I went from the 60s degrees to the 20s, 30s, somewhere in there. I think it was in the teens today. But it's warmer than it typically is at this time of the year. So I guess I'll take that.
That's a win.
Yeah, that's a win. I could use a little bit more snow, though. I'm a little sad we haven't got much snow, but anyways. So, David, let's throw the green flag and hop right into it. We've got a lot of good content to cover. First one I think that you and I are both really excited about that we want to discuss is the XFL. We know this is a big deal. We've talked about it multiple times between that and the AAF that unfortunately folded. But multiple times on the podcast, we've discussed the XFL, and it's coming quite soon, actually, the draft and everything else. We kind of talked about how the teams in prior episodes are going to be drafted out and QB selection and things of that nature, so be sure to check that out as well. But this week, they announced pretty much a revised rule package with some pretty big highlights of, I would say, significant changes to that of traditional football, or especially that of the NFL. So I wanted to have us talk about that tonight because I think it's an exciting prospect, and I think it's an interesting way they're going about this. So I wanted to break this out over a few different ways. The first one is kickoffs and punts. Getting excited there, and we're in playoff season. Kickoffs and punts. Real fast, David, why don't you tell the audience like what the background is of this particular rule for kickoffs and punts?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's really good timing that this comes out. All eight teams are in Houston right now in training camp for season kicking off in, gosh, a little over a month now. But kickoffs and punts, it's going to be – they're put player safety kind of at the forefront of this. So kickoffs and punts, gunners are going to hang back a little bit so they don't get that full head of steam coming down the field. It's going to be a lot more player safety focused for, the returner. Make sure there's probably going to be some no touchbacks, which I imagine will be a possibility most of the time. But player safety is at the forefront across the entire league, but especially here, just trying to keep those big hits. So, which I mean, fans love to see, but if it knocks a guy out of a game and ends his career, it's not really good for the player.
So, one thing I was reading about is, I kind of read this, and you tell me what you think. It sounds almost like the XFL is trying to do the opposite of the NFL and discourage touchbacks as much as they can. You know, like you were talking, the NFL has gone so safety focused, and because all the lawsuits and CTE and all this fun stuff, or not fun stuff, I should say. it's all about safety, and it's all about, I mean, some of the flags, which I think we'll talk about in another episode, but some of the penalties that we've seen this year have been atrocious. Some of these games have almost been painful to watch because, like, some of the, excessive penalties, and you look at it, and you're like, really, that's a 15-yarder now? Like, come on, guys. Where it seems like the XFL, so they're moving the ball back from, so the kickoffs are going to be from the 30-yard line. But coverage and blocking teams will line up on the receiving 35 and 30 yard line respectively. So I think, so you've got, you know, quite a bit of distance between the two teams already. Mm-hmm. I don't know how this works. That was one thing that I didn't see discussed is onside kicks, because obviously now you've got 40 give or take yards between the two teams. Obviously you can't do a traditional kick at 10 yards and do an onside kick. Well, maybe you can, I don't know. Maybe they're really trying to encourage that offensive game. But it sounds like – the other thing is, too, is that only the kicker and the returner can move until the ball is caught or within 3 seconds of the ball hitting the ground. Yeah. So it's almost like they're giving if nobody can move until the ball is caught, then you're going to have a ton of returns, I imagine. And maybe it won't be like guys going full steam like it is now, just plowing into each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still going to happen. But maybe it'll be a slightly less degree because guys are, you know, it takes a little bit to get that body in motion effect. But that's going to be interesting. I think we're going to see a lot of explosive returns for sure because of that.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely going fast pace, up tempo, high scoring. So it does fit in. A couple other things somewhat related to that. They're going to have a running clock outside of 2 minutes, 25-second game clock, 10-minute halves. I mean, it's really exciting thinking about they want to get offense. It's a little bit different than the NFL. They want to have players on the field. I mean, that's the way the NFL has gone. So they're just kind of putting it on steroids in a sense. Get more scoring, get more high plays. And there's a few rules that I'm really excited about, which are very different than what has been what's currently gone on. But even with the previous iteration of the XFL, AFL, they're being very innovative in this space of rules and just kind of changing gameplay in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even on punts, like, no one's allowed to leave the line of scrimmage until the ball is actually punted. So right there, you're going to have a ton of potential, a ton of space for a really strong offensive weapon to get up back there and make some magic happen versus, you know, basically just trying to kick a guy into a corner and you know, get your runners down there so that he's forced to call, you know, I like that they're a lot more aggressive, and it doesn't surprise me that Vince McMahon, you know, and him being aggressive, you know, he's there's nothing
it fits his style
safe about Vince McMahon. Exactly. No. Yeah. So some of the other things that I want to talk about, there's a lot of pretty cool things. I think one that I really like, you mentioned the time. I like the rolling time, the 25-second play clock, the short half times. I like all that. The target, they said the target time that they want for a game to last is 2 hours and 45 minutes, which to me is still kind of long considering the attention span of America these days. But considering that a lot of NFL games are 3 to 3.5 hours long on average, I think that's a good move. I think it's an excellent move, especially when you're not talking about, you know, this isn't the cream of the crop. It's, you know, it's not the NFL. It's not the NFL talent. So you want to be able to catch people's attention quickly before they move on to other things. So I think that's smart. I think ideally, you know, somewhere around that 2 hour mark, 2 to 2.5 hours, probably more ideal, but it's certainly a step in the right direction. Some other things that I saw was only have to have 1 foot in bounds on a catch. So going to the college rule. What do you think about that?
You know what? I like it. Most of these guys are probably, you know, college players and just extending their career a little bit. There might be a few fringe NFL players on rosters, but most are very familiar with that concept for the wide receivers who came from college, and it's easier. You're going to see more catches that way instead of having to have 2 feet in bounds. So it's going to progress the ball down the field at a faster pace by only having 1 foot in at a time. So I'm a fan of that.
For sure. Let's see. A couple other things. Again, all about offense. You're allowed 2 forward passes, which I thought was crazy. So as long as the ball is across the line of scrimmage, you can, I mean, geez, you can pass the ball. If you got a QB in shotgun, he could technically throw the ball 3 yards and then chuck it. A wide receiver could chuck it back or chuck it back to the quarterback. I think that's a pretty cool move. I think I'm excited to see how teams are going to take advantage of that for sure. Real fast, why don't you tell about the point after attempts? I think this was pretty cool. to care
Yeah,
about.
so NFL wise, I mean, it's pretty much a given. You're going to get that point after attempts, or even the 2-point attempts as we move back a little bit, because so many people get it. Moving over to the XFL, there's really no free points here. There's three options that a team has. Basically, you can go for 1, 2, or 3 points. If you just want to get 1 point after the touchdown, you line up at the 2-yard line. You can back it up to the 5-yard line to go for two, or back it up to the 10-yard line to go for three. So I have a feeling a lot of teams are probably going to go for three right here, just thinking, get the score up. It's only 10 yards, so probably a lot of passes. I don't think there's going to be a lot of runs unless it's that 1-point play right on the 2-yard line. I like that there's some more flexibility here, and teams and coaches can be innovative with some trick plays probably showing up at this point. So I think that's a good move to give some more options to teams how they want to score after a touchdown.
See, I think, like, I don't know, the 3-point play kind of the risk reward there is interesting. Obviously, if you need it, then it certainly makes sense to do it. I like that you have the ability to do it. You don't have, you can, I mean, essentially, you can walk away with what, 9 points now off of the touchdown. So it's an excellent way to get yourself back in the game. I'm a little bit more like play it safe. Like, I don't know if I'd go for the 1-pointer, but the 2-pointer really intrigues me. Being set up on the 3-yard line, you're close enough there that you can use a power rush, but you're also far enough away from the goal line that you can do a little bit more interesting things from a passing standpoint as well. Versus the 10-yard one kind of scares me a little bit, not
It
gonna
does.
lie. Especially being backed up in the end zone. You don't have a lot of, like you're talking about 20 yards of usable space, which isn't a whole lot of room when it calls to talks about a passing game.
Oh, that's middle ground. That's perfect for that RPO, which a lot of teams are running nowadays. Get every option in. You could run pass, or the quarterback can sneak it in, just depending on what the defense is giving them. So that's probably going to be maybe overall throughout the first season, the most common one. I can see a lot of teams just at least trying the 3-point play, just cause a suit to test it out, see what they can do, though, in those first few weeks.
Another big one is overtime. So
Oh, I love this.
I despise NFL overtime rules.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely hate them. I know that the college game has been tweaked a little bit because it was getting a little crazy. We talked about it in prior episodes, where we're getting 6, 7, stints of overtime, and it was just a lot of wear and tear on the body and guys being exhausted and, injury. Concerns go up, et cetera, et cetera. But the NFL overtime rules are an absolute friggin' joke.
They suck.
And it was supposed to be better in the playoffs. And I'm just like, after this last weekend, I'm like, really? Like, it was just anticlimactic, in my opinion. So the overtime rules here, I think, is a nice balance between kind of that college extreme game versus the pretty boring NFL. So it's a shootout style overtime. Each team gets 5 single plays from their 5-yard line. So you line up on the 5. I assume that's your opponent's 5, though it wasn't specifically worded, but I assume so. That would be crazy if it wasn't.
95 yards.
So you got 5 plays to go 5 yards essentially to get in. I believe you will be able to kick a field goal, correct? Am I correct on that?
I believe so. That's an
If
option.
you can't get in. And then each team gets an opportunity, which I love, unlike the NFL. If the game is still tied at that point, it's a rotating possession to continue until you have a winner. So you're going to go and go and go until you have a winner. But the thing is, because of that extra point opportunities, like this is where I really see someone playing then because, let's say you go first and you score. Like if you line up for the 2-pointer, like think of the risk there because if you don't get it then and the other team like
You got to
there's
stop
just
them.
so many different possibilities of things that could happen. And the XFL thinks that overtime is not going to be a real common thing because of the fact that they have so many possible variations to the rules. But this overtime is exciting because let's say you score first and you play it safe and go for the 1-pointer. Now, kind of like on the college rule, you've got a while before you're forced into those 2-point situations. Now you could do it right off the bat. Like, all right, well, they went for 1 point on the 1-yard line. Let's line up on the 2-yard line and try to win this thing now. I love this thing. I think it's exciting.
I mean, that's where that offensive coordinator is going to make his money, or defensive coordinator for getting stops. I have no idea what salaries are for coaches or how much variation there is compared to NFL. I'm sure it'll be a lot lower, but man, that's where a coordinator can make his name, calling the right play, getting the right set, the right formation. I would love to see an overtime game in the first weekend just to see how this plays out. I'd love to see it go for all 5 rounds if possible. That would be amazing.
That would
So
be
I'm
pretty cool.
excited. It reminds me of hockey and shootouts afterwards. So just back and forth, back and forth.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like we're gonna have to, I think, have an episode about overtime rules in sports because I still like I used to love overtime hockey, and I still do in the playoffs, obviously, because it's traditional. But during the regular season, the 3-on-3, don't even get me started on that. But real fast, one or two other little things to kind of cut down on flags. Which again is a major problem in the NFL. I mean, it's like every other play is a flag. Linemen are allowed to be up to 2 yards downfield on a passing play, so this kind of cuts down on that illegal man downfield, which we see so many times, and it just, I mean, 9 times out of 10, it has no impact to the actual play
No,
itself.
it
So I'm
slows the
excited
game.
about that. I love the 1 foot in rule. Let's see. I like the that there's no coin toss too. I think it's nice and simple. The home team always makes a choice. You can kick, receive, or defer. And then if it comes to overtime, the visitors always get to make the choice. So I love that as well. It just get us to the game. And enough of the charades and the back. Just, we
Play the
don't
game.
need to have the whole show beforehand, especially not for something where, again, we're talking about we need to keep things into a short attention span. So I love all these rules. I was kind of excited about the AAF, watched a few games before it unfortunately folded, but these new rules actually had me really, really excited. And I'm glad that, I'm hoping that, we're part of growing this listener base and that you guys as our listeners will go out and check out some games because I think it's going to be pretty cool. And I think it's going to be a lot of cool talking points throughout the XFL season. Yeah, I'm sure we won't catch every game or we may not be able to catch every week with everything's going on, but I think, especially as we start to get some players that we recognize some names on and things like this, and the TV coverage is decent, this is going to open up a lot of cool things to talk about.
One last thing that I love, as soon as the Super Bowl is over, you had that football void in your life of you got to wait for the draft coming up, then OTAs, mini camps in the summer. The Super Bowl's on a Sunday. Games literally start the next Saturday. So not even a
That's
full week
awesome.
is going by, and we already have a new league popping up.
Oh,
So that void
that is.
is lifted, and we're going to get a new variation of football to watch and enjoy in the spring. So let's get to February.
I love it. Absolutely. All right. So switching topics. Some big news came out this last week. We saw how the Patriots season ended, kind of in a disappointing manner. The last play, an interception. As soon as the way that game ended with the Patriots, I knew right then there, I was like, Tom Brady's not going to retire. I'm like, I'll be
No,
shocked if he
not on
retires
that.
the way that that game ended. Especially after seeing, Elway and Manning and these guys going out with rings, you can't have probably the greatest of all time, Tom Brady, going
On a
out on
pick
an
six?
interception. Yeah,
No,
not can't happen.
no.
So I knew it immediately before that game. I was like, all right, I think he's done. I think he's done. I think this is gonna be his last home game. As soon as that happened, I'm like, no way. So it comes out. Yeah, of course, because it's 2020 now, and all news happens on social media. Of course, he released it on Instagram. He didn't actually specifically state that he was definitely coming back, but I mean, he pretty much
Pretty
hinted.
good
And
hint.
yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I feel pretty confident that I figured out that he's coming back next year. So the question, David, is, if he's returning, which I think he is, where is he going to go?
Man. I mean, there's a few different things here. I've heard a lot of analysts talk about is Tom Brady actually leaving the Patriots? I mean, 20 years is a long time. And you think, there's some high-profile quarterbacks that left their first team. First thing that comes to mind is Montana leaving. Brett Favre left, and they had long runs. But one big thing that kind of made them leave, they had a quarterback in the wing. Steve Young was in San Francisco. Aaron Rodgers was in Green Bay. There's really nobody here to take his place if he leaves. So, I mean, he's
You
definitely
mean
got the
Garrett
job.
Stidham is not your guy of the
I
future, you don't think, if you're a
don't
Patriots
even know
fan?
who that is. So, no,
Yeah,
he's not the future there. So I don't know. I don't know if Robert Kraft, after all this time, can even stomach him seeing Tom Brady in a different uniform. But for the first time in his life, he's a true free agent. It's kind of crazy. After 20 years, he's never been an actual true free agent. He cannot be franchised. He can't be tagged. He has the ability to go wherever he wants. You know, there's been some talk about going to the Chargers. Phillip Rivers probably is not returning. The Raiders in Las Vegas. I mean, the Colts even kind of pick up after Manny. It should be a really neat storyline after Manny was there for so long. There's also some chatter about if Josh McDaniels leaves, probably not as a head coach now, but if he goes somewhere as an OC, does he follow Josh McDaniels? Does he stay with Belichick? I think he's going to come back as a Patriot. He's been there too long. There's too much going on for him to go anywhere else. Just seeing a different uniform just doesn't feel right. So he'll be back in Foxborough next year.
So, all the things you have in common with the teams that you just listed, and I've heard the same similar teams in the media as well that have kind of thrown out there, is they all suck right now.
Yeah.
And so, he
He wants a
specifically
ring.
said in his Instagram, "I have more to prove." Well, they're not going to do that. Like, nobody cares about the Las Vegas Raiders. They're
No.
terrible. They're not going anywhere. Tom, the whole Gruden situation is an absolute joke. So I don't think he wants anything to do with that media circus hoorah over
No.
there. Sandy, like, well, I guess they're not San Diego. The Los Angeles Chargers. I mean,
You're
they're a
decent,
decent
but
team,
he's not
but
going to lift
like,
them that
yeah, and
much.
they don't have a fan base. I mean, they still have what, a little bit longer. Are they actually moving into SoFi next year?
I believe so.
I think
If it's
so.
finished on time, they should be.
Well, that's the thing. I've been trying to keep an eye out on that stadium just because it is a pretty cool looking stadium, but it doesn't look any to try to hopefully get this thing done. I don't see it happening, but we'll see. And there's already been talks about it being $4 billion over budget. That's a whole separate issue. And then Indianapolis hates Tom Brady. They hate Tom Brady
But they'd welcome him with
because,
open arms.
but I mean, would they though? Like a one-year
Well,
deal? Like, do they? Like, they've hated him for 20 years. He
yeah.
was like their guy's arch nemesis, and probably off the field, I'm sure Manny and Brady are probably BFFs and whatever. But I don't know if they would welcome him honestly, because even with Brady, that team is still garbage. And the other
Oh.
thing is, why on earth would Brady go there? Their organization is terrible. Their ownership is terrible. I
Unpredictable.
agree with you.
Yeah.
I think he's staying in New England. And the next question, real fast on this, is me personally, I think he's going to take a minimum deal. This is
Really?
just me.
Okay.
He's worth, this is the estimate in 2019. He's estimated to be worth $180 million.
It's a nice
If
big
you add
number.
in his wife, who actually is worth more than him, their household net worth is estimated to be over $500 million.
Oh.
$500 million as their net worth. What could he possibly need any money for?
You know what?
If he's told by ownership, listen, I promise you, you've taken a pretty low deal here. Let's say, in the very small, let's say $1 million somewhere, just for even number. I
Okay.
will spend every penny of that remaining amount on getting you an actual wide receiving core.
Yeah.
I think he says, done. See you in July.
So he's taken hometown discounts in previous years to
And he's still
help
worth
build a team
180
around it.
million dollars.
Yeah, and he's still worth that, which is crazy. I don't know. I feel like he's going to come back. He's going to at least want a fair deal. Maybe not, top five quarterback money, but at least middle of the road, because he does have a little bit of an ego. I don't see him taking a minimum deal, though. That just doesn't seem like it's within his wheelhouse to do. I'd be shocked. I would like it. I'm not a Patriots fan, but I would like to see that happen. But
I
man.
mean, I just think like, if he's really coming back for the sole purpose of wanting to prove something, he's not going to do it
Yep.
with the current crew because we've seen that.
No,
I mean, you take Edelman
they
out of the
can't.
picture, he's got nobody to throw the
Nope.
dang ball to.
Nettleman had
So,
some drops. They need some upgrades.
We're in a cap environment, and cap is tough. So, I mean, again, there's not enough money in the world that could make an impact to his life at this point with the amount of how big his bank account is.
No.
So, I don't know. We'll see. If he really cares about it, I hope that he cares, that that's truly the case, and that it's not about ego and not about, oh, you know, so and so is making 20 a year. I want 20 next year. Like, dude, you're old, and you might be the greatest of all time. You might still be the greatest of all time, but the other thing is too. Think about this. You guys talked about a couple weeks ago. He's right there neck and neck with Breeze in a lot of these records.
Yeah.
Again, without a receiving core, a quarterback can't do jack. Unless you're Cam Newton and you're trying to break some, or Lamar Jackson trying to make some running records. Other than that, you got to have somebody to throw the ball to.
Certainly.
So I can't imagine that the greatest of all time wants to not have any outside of rings. He's not going to have any record to his name as a quarterback.
I know. He probably doesn't like seeing Drew Brees above him in that era. Not at all. You know, he's probably going to spend the offseason talking with Gronk, trying to convince him to come back one more time, get one more ring. I could see that happening. Maybe Gronk will return for 1 year, just 1 year deal. I'd love it.
Cool. I would like to see that as well. All right, moving on. Enough Patriot talk in this house.
Let's get that out.
The other big thing that happened this week is Anthony Davis turns down a freaking monster contract opportunity to keep him in Los Angeles long term. David, you're the NBA expert here. But does this surprise you at all? I mean, the Lakers are 30-7 right now. In the last 10, four out of their seven losses have come in the last 10 games. So they started really hot, kind of slightly leveled off just a smidge, but they're still dominating the Western. And with the everything going on there, I mean, it would be very unlikely for them to not get a ring, I think, this year. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about this whole situation?
So, I mean, this is a total risk-reward option here. So he's 26. The deal is for 4 years, $146 million. So essentially $36.5 million a year. That's a lot of money to play basketball. He turned it down. So in July, he could be offered a five-year $200 million deal to get up to $40 million a year. So $3.5 million more, but an extra year there. When you're in LA, you're getting endorsement deals. You're in Hollywood. You have options for commercials. I don't really know if that extra year is a big difference because that risk of this deal, if he gets hurt, I mean, tears an ACL, has a bad injury somehow, does somebody still want to offer him that and knowing that for a year he's going to have to sit out? I mean, I don't know. I'd sign it right now because that's a lot of money, and I don't know if the difference there is enough to take that risk of hopefully not getting hurt and making it to July. Yeah, I mean, they're second in – the league right now behind the Bucks. Risk versus reward.
Here's what I think is going to happen. Well, maybe not think. This is what I kind of wonderful. I hope he gets his ring this year, and he's holding out on that max year because he wants the Chicago Bulls. You know, the hometown guy. He wants that $200 million to come from Chicago. Chicago's trending up, you know. They got some nice pieces in place. They almost have a legit starting five, finally. You know, a big man is something that I think we could use. And, you know, hometown guy, get that max money. Man, be the new Michael Jordan in this town.
Dreaming right now, aren't we?
I mean, am I though? Like, dude, like, he's never rolled out Chicago.
No.
I mean, his biggest thing is he wants a ring, which he's very likely he'll get this year. I mean, so, I know there's some competition on the East. At minimum, I think they'll get to the big show. What they do there, you know, it's hit or miss. But
I mean, yeah, if he came to Chicago, he's obviously number one guy. Alpha male, he's going to lead the team. But even with the Lakers, LeBron's kind of ceding to him. He's like, hey, it's your team. I'm here to support you. So he's already in, you know, essentially the biggest market outside of New York. He's running the show. He's the star athlete. But you're right. There's that lore of just that hometown where you grew up. Do you want to go back and be the savior for your hometown? Do something since, you know, no one since Michael Jordan has would be really big for Chicago. But I don't know. Market I don't think here. He's leaving LA. First.
I think it's happening.
John said it's happening.
I think either this offseason or the next. If anything, I think maybe he signs a 1-year deal next year and stays in LA. But I think by 2021, he is a Chicago Bull. Because that's the thing, man. Yeah, I know LeBron is kind of like handing in the reins, but it's still LeBron's town. You know?
It is.
Anywhere, if you're in any type of area around LeBron James, you're always going to be second fiddle. LeBron can say the nice PC things and play the game appropriately and spill it out into the media that, oh, this is AD's team, blah, blah, blah. But let's be honest. You're always going to be second fiddle to LeBron. Or you could come to Chicago where, you know, which I know the Lakers have very good attendance as well, but you're going to sell out United Center, a massive arena, every single night of the week. I mean, they're doing that now.
Which I don't understand how or why.
Chicago loves their basketball, even though they're terrible. I mean, well, I think there'll be a much better team this year, I think, on paper. We'll see how it actually ends up when it's all said and done. But, so, I mean, imagine just the merchandise and the glamour. Mm-hmm. Mark it down. You heard it here first.
Put it down. Put it down, everybody.
That's my hot take for the year, I think, on that one. All right, David. Let's take any other AD stuff you want to talk about?
Man, I'm just shocked you turned it down. I think they're going to get a ring. I would have signed it. I don't care about the extra $40 million. He'll make it up in endorsements elsewhere. He's fine. Too much of a risk for me.
That's the reason why I think he's going elsewhere. Because I think I know he's a smart guy.
Yeah,
and I think he's smart enough to know that again, $40 million is really nothing to these guys at all.
No,
especially when you count the endorsement deals and the shoe deals and all this fun stuff. So I think that the only reason worth holding out and risking an injury is if you have no desire to be in LA with a bunch of fake fans for pretty much the rest of your, you know, legitimate career. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants to do that. I think he wants to be in a town that actually loves sports and loves basketball. And neither of those two things are the case in LA.
Hot take, guys.
Sorry, California, but you guys suck at following sports. So, anyways. All right, on that quick note, let's take a quick sponsor break, thank our sponsor, and we'll be right back to talk about predictions. Welcome back, everyone, to Season 2, Episode 20 of the Sports Talk Garage Podcast. Again, I'm John here, as always, with David. Before we get into our prediction game and throw the white flag, David, real fast, tell everybody where they can find us online.
Yeah, so our website, sportstalkgarage.com, has all of our previous episodes, information about us. Make sure you go there and check us out. Social media, Facebook and Twitter, at Sports Garage Pod. Get that first part there. At Sports Garage Pod, we're very active there, so make sure you go on, follow us, engage with us. Also send us an email, feedback@sportstalkgarage.com. We'd love to hear from you. Any takes on, you know, what we've said, whether you like it, hate it, think we're idiots. Any future episode ideas, please send that to us. We'd love to talk with you.
Sounds good. All right, so white flag prediction game. Just a recap. I know we did it on one of our replay episodes the other day, but overall standings currently speaking, unfortunately, Matt is still leading this stupid thing at 40, somehow. 29, and 1, followed by Chris, who's 38, 31, and 1. Then myself is in third, 36, 33, and 1. David, you're pulling up the rear again,
man.
34, 35, and 1.
We got
only one with
that.
A losing record right now. You're under 500.
It's going to change after this week. Gotcha.
All right. So our producer, Chris, has sent us over some pretty nice games. I still have a beef to pick with him about one of these, I think, but we'll talk about that in a second. NFL divisional round of playoffs. We get the Minnesota Vikings at the San Francisco 49ers. Saturday, 4:35 on NBC. 49ers are currently favored by 6.5 points. Pretty big margin there.
Yeah.
David, who do you think and who are you picking on this?
So I actually expected this to be the Saints and the 49ers. I didn't think the Vikings were going to be here. I was actually going to go Saints over 49ers before that game, but it's not who we have. 49ers are playing at home. They're excellent at home. The Vikings scare me. Kirk Cousins had his first playoff win, but he scares me as a quarterback. San Francisco's defense is amazing. Going 49ers on this one. I think they're going to pull it out.
I don't even think Mitch Trubisky is scared of the Vikings. So is it interesting though that the Saints got knocked out again on a no call pass interference again?
Yeah, 2 years in a row.
What's up with
Interesting.
that?
You know what?
Opposite sides this time, but
It
offensive
is.
versus defensive,
Pass
but
interference again. Yeah.
clearly pass interference.
Clearly. I'm sure they're going to be talking to the league after the season, or probably now, trying to fight that and figure out what happened, why it wasn't called. Feel bad for
Yeah.
him. It should have
Let's make a note and talk
been.
about overtime and replays and stuff like that really soon, because
All
I'm a disgruntled fan when it comes to some of
right.
this stuff, and I'd love to be able to talk about it. All right, so you're going 49ers. Our
49ers.
producer Chris is going 49ers. We don't know what Matt has, so we're gonna because he's traveling, so we're gonna have to get his hot takes over text. We'll add it to next week. I think I agree with you guys. I think the Vikings are a joke, honestly. I know they got a couple of pieces there, but there's nothing that scares me from a QB's perspective in that town.
No.
So I'm going with you guys as well. Let's go 49ers. See what Garoppolo can do. Next game, the Titans at the Baltimore Ravens. Saturday at 8:15. I'm a little surprised the Titans got through as well. The current
Yeah.
over, so this is an over under game. The over under on this one is 48 points. So David, do you think these two teams combined can score 48 points or more?
Gosh, you know what? Derrick Henry is slowly becoming one of my favorite players in the league. He is an amazing running back. He's definitely going to get a touchdown, maybe two, lots of yards. But on the other side, Lamar Jackson, he's always good for three or four touchdowns, whether it's passing, running. 48 points is a lot. Both these teams can score. I don't know. It's playoffs. Things tend to slow down, though. So I think I'm going to go under on this one.
All right.
Defense is going to hold out here.
Yeah, this is interesting because my brain tells me that I should choose over. Because my brain says that, oh, well, Baltimore should be able to score a good portion of that by themselves. But for whatever reason, I kind of want to agree with you. Even though it's scary because you're under 500, David. I don't know. It's maybe a bad idea.
Don't trust me.
And I kind of want to go opposite our producer Chris, who's going over.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna go under. I think it's gonna
Come
be a
on.
lot of run game. I haven't checked the weather yet, but I am hoping it's gonna be cold and nasty in Baltimore. So
Well,
I'm hoping that's gonna encourage the run game, so eat more clock and hopefully
slow
have less
down.
points.
Some
So
good defense in Baltimore, too, is going to help.
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go under. I'm going
Okay.
under. Who do you think is gonna win that game, even though it's not part of our predictions?
I'm going Ravens on that one. I
Yeah.
think they're much more talented than the Titans.
Should be on paper, that's for sure.
At least on paper. But we have any given Sunday, so we'll
That's
see.
true. That is true. All right, moving on. Houston Texans at the Kansas City Chiefs this Sunday at 3 o'clock on CBS. It's another over under game by our producer, currently sitting at 49.5 points between these two. So
Okay.
again, David, what do you
Very
think? Can they
close.
score at least, can they basically score 50 points or more?
This is like the previous game. Both are high scoring teams. Deshaun Watson can light it up. Obviously, Mahomes has some weapons and they can put points on the board as well. They're playing in Kansas City. It can snow there at a moment's notice, I feel like, which would slow things down, but I'm going over. I feel like this one just has the feeling of a high scoring game here.
As I look at the weather right now,
A
it's
little
gonna
cheating
be
there.
a little bit of cheating. Not calling for any snow, but
Okay.
it is gonna be cold, it looks like. So our producer is going opposite of you on this one. He's
All
going
right.
under. So
Okay.
he thinks that these two high-powered offenses, neither
Interesting.
one of them are gonna score. Texans worry me a little bit because they had a pretty rough start the last week, but they did come back and
Yeah.
win that game.
JJ Watt's
But
back.
yeah. And that's really he's the one that got them back in that game. And things are looking pretty miserable. And all it took is a nice little sack, and suddenly they started getting some mojo on both sides of the ball. So I'm gonna agree with you, David.
Okay.
I'm gonna go over.
I like
So
it.
our producer Chris going under again. We'll find out what Matt has later. Hopefully, he
Okay.
doesn't listen to this episode and cheat too much. We'll have to get his stuff before I
All
post it. But all right, we're set there. Last game of the week. the Seattle Seahawks at the Green Bay Packers. Vomit. Sunday at 6:40 p.m. The Packers are currently favored by 4 points. So, David, who are you picking on this one?
Gosh, Green Bay at home. If it were at Seattle, I'd easily say Seattle. But Green Bay is tough at home. Aaron Rodgers has not had the best year as a quarterback. He's had a few games that have just been flat. But it's the playoffs. He's going to come alive. 4 points is not large. I think they can cover 4 points at home. So I'm going Packers.
All right. You're going Packers. Our producer, Chris, is going Packers. You know, if you guys have listened to any of our podcasts, you know, as I've said before, it will be a cold day in hell before I pick the Green Bay Packers for anything. They could be playing the Cincinnati Bengals this Sunday, and I would still pick the Bengals.
That's
it's
awesome.
Worth losing a point. They probably will win, but I'm hoping Beast it. Mode is going to roll up in there and expose those boys for what it is. Packers, you know, honestly, I rode with Russell Wilson the entire year. He was my primary guy on fantasy football.
He took did me you to well.
Semi, you know, I just barely lost out to you, unfortunately, it was, right? He came back and beat me. So, you know, he was good to me this year. Ride or die, brother, I'm going with you.
Going so Seahawks.
The Seahawk, the Wisconsin Badger, and the NC State Wolfpack boy. I'm hoping you can roll up into Green Bay, and hopefully you and Beast Mode will rain down. So we'll see. All right, well, that's enough hate about Green Bay. Even though we could go on for hours, I'm sure. But anyways, one of these days I'll get you Panther fans to understand that Aaron Rodgers is your enemy, and you need to start looking at him like that. Tampa Bay and New Orleans are one thing, but, you know.
Hey, I don't have State Farm, so that's a win.
Oh, yeah. I would never, ever have State Farm, actually, because of this. No. Even if they offer me a massive discount, I'd say no. I would call them up and say, I appreciate your offer, but no.
But not. Can't do it. Can't do it. Sorry.
No. No, can't happen. Pat Mahomes, sure, any day. Not
Rodgers.
Not happening. All right, David, checkered flag. What's your final thoughts? Anything going on this week?
Checkered flag. Actually heading to Raleigh for the weekend, so I'm hoping to get some football games in. Racing starting back up soon in the next couple months, so I'm excited about that. Basketball's in full swing. I'm actually, for Christmas, got some tickets to some local basketball games, so I'm going to go to those over the next few months, see some ACC teams coming to town, which will be nice. So definitely looking forward to seeing some teams in person.
Absolutely. Yeah, unfortunately, our Tar Heels aren't looking too hot this year.
No, which is sad because they're one of the five teams I'll get to see, but it'll still be good to see them.
I was a little surprised that Roy Williams said this is the worst or least talented bunch.
He admitted it, but
yeah,
it's all right. It'll be good to see him
about
in person.
A morale killer to the team. I don't know. But anyways, and they lost again the night to Pitt. So Oh, well. Yeah.
We'll move on.
NIT, here we come. All right. Same for me. I think hopefully get some football in. Got a couple of family things going on this weekend, but hopefully they'll all be in semi-close proximity to a TV, and so I can catch some games, and we'll see if my Tottenham Spurs can not look like garbage again this weekend. So should be interesting. But all right, well, we will call it a night. We'll see you guys back again next week for episode 21. Again, look forward to hearing from you. Hit us up on Twitter and Facebook. As well as shoot us an email with any kind of feedback, ideas, or if you want to get in on this prediction game and get out your hot takes, or if you want to give me credit for AD coming to Chicago, you know, I'll go ahead and take some
please do that.
Preemptive credit for that as well. So, all right, guys, have a great evening, and all right. We'll talk later.
Later.
Later, David.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to have your sports-related question or comment featured on the show, please email us at sportstalkgarage@gmail.com. Also, if you want to keep up to date with us outside of the show, please follow us on Twitter at sportsgaragepod. If you enjoyed the show, please drop us a 5-star review and subscribe if you want to hear more. So for Chris back in the studio, David and Matt, I'm John, and we are the Sports Talk Garage.